Hey, before we jump into this week's podcast, I just wanted to send out a quick note that I am taking sponsors for the Healthy Competition podcast. So if you want to get your name in front of hundreds of product marketers and competitive intel practitioners, reach out to me at Andy at healthycompetition.co. That's Andy at healthycompetition.co, and we'll talk things through. All right, that's it. On to this week's episode.
Okay, so Derek, I have you here from Ignition, the CEO and founder there. First, I want to just kind of get a little bit of background on you. Give you some background on just like your role as a PMM and then going into becoming a founder of Ignition. And then tell us a little bit about what Ignition is as well.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I've run kind of product marketing and marketing teams kind of throughout the Valley. So, you know, early on in my career as a PM at PlayStation, which actually looked a lot like a product marketing role. It was kind of like closer to kind of CPG brand management, but launching big AAA games. And then, you know, I've been around venture-backed startups ever since. So did a lot of like early stage stuff in a range of different verticals, running marketing and growth, heavy product marketing slant, but, you know, like a lot of growth work as well there. Then ended up actually joining BBVA, which is a big Spanish bank. In their innovation arm, helping to, you know, run marketing across a portfolio of companies that they had either, you know, created and incubated in-house or invested or acquired. So doing a lot of the like early product marketing work as those companies were launching themselves and, you know, figuring out like, how do we talk about these things? How do we position them? What audience are we targeting? And then ended up actually joining Rippling, helped them scale up from seed to Series B, basically running the product marketing team. And so I stood up product marketing there, scaled that up through when the company was about 500 or so, 600 or so employees, I think. And then ended up, you know, like basically I've built a lot of go-to-market, you know, tool processes and plans in the past and, you know, kind of gotten sick of all the tooling that was available for it. And, you know, basically decided there was a better way to do it and set out to go start Ignition. You know, basically I'm productizing a lot of like personal pain, historically as a product marketer. Yeah, kind of bounced out and like started doing the founder thing. It's been a fun ride. COVID hit and I was like, you know what, like now's the time to do it. So
I love that. Yeah, yeah. And it definitely was the time to do it too. And especially too, I think that, you know, you've come in at a great time where there's a lot of opportunity for supporting product marketers. I think that there's, for some reason, not a lot of support out there, at least from like a tooling standpoint. There's a lot of tools, period, but not that many for product marketers. Mm-hmm. So definitely want to talk with you about Ignition specifically and kind of how you've approached that business. The first thing I want to kind of dive in with you on is just kind of product marketing in general, right? Because you mentioned you have experience, PlayStation, SaaS, you're also an investor as well. And so one thing I'm curious about, you know, are product marketers from your POV, are they facing really similar challenges across all of these different companies and industries, or are they fairly different?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, like I think in some of my past companies where I was selling to like SMB, you know, there was this kind of internal joke that we would have, you know, when we're talking about like selling to small business owners, because like every small business owner thinks that like their business is like a special snowflake and it's unique and like, you know, it's got its own special set of needs. And in reality, like if you abstract it out, like they all actually are facing the exact same stuff. And I think the same is true of product marketers. Like I think product marketers like to think that like their industry is specific and like their problems are unique to that industry. But like product marketers that I talk to at CPG companies, product marketers that I talk to at it, which like sometimes are brand managers, but like, you know, when I talk to product marketers at consumer facing companies or SaaS companies, they're all facing the same stuff. Like it's all the same problems. It's all the same alignment challenges. You know, when they're launching things, it's all the same. Like, how are we actually getting access to useful insights? It's all, you know, like trying to articulate the value of doing kind of like core positioning, messaging work, you know, how to like, who owns pricing and packaging, all the same problems like live, you know, at different shapes and sizes and industries of company. And like, I think that was actually kind of one of the core insights that like drove starting Ignition was like, look, these problems, I've seen them at big companies, small companies, consumer facing companies, entertainment companies, SaaS companies, like it's all the same. Like, you know, the problems are consistent no matter what type of product marketing you're doing at what type of company. And this is held true, like, as I talk to product marketers, you know, I'm talking to like hundreds of them, you know, a week, and, you know, all of them are facing the same stuff.
Well, that's good then, I think, because a lot of PMMs that I know, unfortunately, right, because, like, due to the economy, a lot of product marketers are looking for work. And I think one thing that could hold a lot of them back would be thinking, oh, well, you know, I really only have experience in the SaaS space, so I really should only, like, be staying in my lane and trying to, you know, stay a SaaS PMM. But from what you're saying, it sounds like any PMM should really be enabled to look across different industries. If there's an opportunity somewhere else and kind of a different environment that maybe you're not used to, you'll still be solving a lot of the same problems. And so you should feel enabled to go and pursue those.
100%. I mean, it's, I think, you know, PMMs, they limit themselves by only looking within their industry. And, like, if you look at my background, like, I've jumped across a couple of different industries. And, like, I think, you know, the benefit of, like, actually working within multiple different industries as a product marketer is you become a better product marketer because you're able to take the bits and pieces that work within different industries and apply those learnings in, you know, a slightly less, you know, consistent industry that you're jumping to. Like, for example, like, I came out of gaming, and, like, gaming, this was back before onboarding was, like, really, you know, a thing, and the PMMs were really working on much. But, you know, like, gaming companies and gaming products, like, do probably the best job of onboarding of any category of tool, because it's been a problem since day one, is how do you, like, interactively explain new things to, you know, a brand new first time user. And I think a lot of the, like, gamification principles, a lot of the, like, gradual introduction to new features, like, all of those principles that, like, now are pretty table stakes, you know, like, everybody kind of understands them in SaaS. 8 years ago, like, nobody knew them. And like, being able to pull those learnings from gaming was so valuable to me as a product marketer jumping into the SaaS world. And, you know, I think product market, like, there is a bit of hiring manager, you know, bias where, like, people are looking for, like, people have done it in their industry before. And, you know, that's on the hiring managers for not being creative enough and where they're looking. But, ultimately, like, product marketers should be looking, you know, at whatever interests them, to be honest, because I think that breadth of experience is valuable.
Was it actually, like, in individual games that you were a PMM for, or was it just, like, a console in general? I've never spoken with a PMM from, like, from the gaming industry, so I'm just personally curious about that.
Yeah, no, like, I worked on specific franchises, so, like, God of War at PlayStation, Gran Turismo, a bunch of the, like, kind of, like, bigger first-party titles that, you know, they launched, like, I was kind of the brand manager for those.
That's cool. That's so cool. I've, like I said, never, like, well, so when I was first kind of, like, looking into product marketing, I think that early on in anyone's career, like, what they really want to do is just work for a brand that they're really familiar with. And so for, you know, gamers, I'm sure, like, they want to go, like, work for Sony or Nintendo. And then, you know, we kind of get, like, stuck in our own, like, whatever, wherever we end up, you know, I ended up going to software. So that's fascinating though. So, like, were you pro, like, would you just get assigned a specific game and then, like, work on that for essentially a year and then go and move on to something else? Or were you working on multiple projects at the same time, or how did it look?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, like, oftentimes it's a tough job because you're actually, like, typically managing multiple products at once. And so, like, I had kind of a couple of franchises that I was responsible for, and, like, you know, one game would be coming out of the launch as I was starting planning for the next one, and those things would be kind of happening in parallel. So depending on the size of game, and, like, it's funny because, like, gaming launches, you know, like, they have the same tiering system that product marketers are using, you know, in software launches. It's, there's big game launches where there are huge campaigns with a lot more planning involved, and those ones, you know, like, eat up a year of work. And then there's, like, small ones that are, you know, much tighter. You're mostly using own channels. They're a much quicker process. And so, like, if you have a lot of small launches going on, you would have those all kind of, like, dropped on your plate all at once. Typically, you had, like, kind of, they tried to mix it up where it was, like, you have one big franchise that you're working on at any given point, and then, like, a couple of smaller ones that you're kind of, like, ushering through in parallel. But it's a lot to juggle. And like, the planning process for game launches is it mirrors hardware quite a bit. And so it's pretty intense. There's a lot to do. And it's also the scope of product marketing, I think, when you talk about the gaming world, and this is true of, like, CPG also, the scope of product marketing is a little bigger too, because functionally you're acting as like actual brand manager. So you're doing a lot of like product management work. You're doing a lot more kind of strategic brand management, corporate, like almost corporate marketing. You're also doing like, you have a lot more like direct ownership over like pricing, packaging, forecasting. So, you know, it's actually a, and then also the demand gen side of things. You're actually doing all the campaign management, you know, with oftentimes agency partners, but you're actually the one actually on the hook for, hitting numbers, as opposed to, you know, kind of doing all the like positioning, messaging, internal enablement, and then letting demand gen drive the boat on actual acquisition.
Right. Oh man, that's fascinating. Okay. Well, so did you always want to be an entrepreneur? Did you always see yourself as a founder, or did you kind of just like stumble on this like realization that, hey, there's not really a go-to-market platform for PMMs, and then just kind of take it on yourself as, you know, this too good of an opportunity to really pass up?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few things. So like, I always wanted to be a founder. And I think I made excuses for myself for way too long, why not to do it, or why I wasn't ready at a given point. And, you know, so I always wanted to do this. COVID just kind of like was the realization that like snapped me into it. But at the same time, I had actually been marinating on the idea of building, you know, a platform for managing go-to-market processes for a long time. Like even before I joined Rippling, I had been kicking this idea around. And a lot of it, you know, is because the existing tooling is so, you know, like lackluster for product marketers to do this stuff. And I think I was also just passionate about like building tools for product marketers, because like you said, you know, earlier, it's like there just aren't really any tool, like any or many tools built specifically for product marketing teams. And you know, it's a hard job. Like it's one of, in my opinion, it's the most important job within any company, if it's scoped properly. And it's a tough one to execute. And, you know, that's made even harder because of the fact that like product marketers are stuck kind of jumping into other people's tools and into tools that are not really built for the processes that they're working on. So, you know, it was kind of like combo of like saw a market opportunity, was passionate about it, you know, from personal experience and like wanting to build for people like myself. And then, you know, also just, you know, feeling like I was ready to go start something.
Right. Okay. And so up to this point, you know, we've talked kind of vaguely about, you know, it being Ignition being a tool for product marketers, but like, let's now kind of dive a bit deeper into it. So give us like the 2-minute kind of elevator pitch. Like, what is Ignition? What is it that the product can do? Where did you also start too, right? Because a lot of product marketers have to do a lot of things. They have a lot of pain points. And so how did you determine the initial problem that you wanted to solve with Ignition?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, like, so we bill ourselves as kind of a go-to-market operating system. And so, you know, what that looks like is a platform to ultimately help align product, marketing, and sales teams, right? Because go-to-market is functionally just an exercise in alignment. And so, you know, our take, like, is that the reason that breaks down is, one, because there's huge data silos created by the fragmentation of tooling that exists in the launch process. Two, is that all the tools that you're using to kind of track all the work involved in the launch process don't actually help you do any of it. And so you end up like, again, reinforcing those data silos by having to jump into, you know, point solution research tools, for example, that drive all the context that feeds into your planning process. So like kind of what we built is, and it's funny because like, you know, there's the classic, like you wedge into a product and you solve for like a very narrow use case and then gradually expand from there. Our take was actually very different to that. And it was inspired a lot by like what we were doing at Rippling, which is, you know, you kind of need to solve the whole problem in order to solve this problem. And it's such a messy problem that you actually need to take a pretty broad like platform approach to it. So what we are is we're basically a platform that helps with upfront collecting all the research on the competitive and customer front. So we help with monitoring competitive intel. On the customer research front, we help with like extracting insights out of customer conversations, as well as like doing specific kind of one-off survey around pricing, packaging, et cetera. We feed that context into a roadmapping process to help the product team actually do their roadmapping directly in the product. They don't have to. We also integrate there. So if product teams already have a roadmapping tool, we'll plug into it. But our goals give visibility into what's going on with the roadmap for the product marketing team, because you need to know what's actually getting built in order to launch it. So then we have a bunch of go-to-market planning tooling, which is basically combining documentation, asset management, project management in kind of one central source of truth with some underlying kind of AI workflow where we help actually create those plans for you in more repeatable fashion. So, you know, we basically have frameworks baked in where you can like cascade out a whole tiered launch plan in a couple of seconds based off of some characteristics that you give us, type, tier, budget, et cetera. But then, you know, like at the end of the day, all of that's designed in a very unique way where it's all modular. So it's really easy to communicate across the rest of the org. So everything in Ignition is designed to be pushed outwards as opposed to requiring people to come into the platform to get information. So we basically can push, you know, automated kind of email and Slack updates across the organization so that all those like, you know, one-off status updates that product marketing is sending on a regular basis can all get automated so that cross-functional teams, sales, success, et cetera, can all be kept in the loop at every step of the way. We have some post-launch measurement stuff that we do too. Like we do some retrospective tooling. You know, we plug in your analytics tools and help to measure success. But, you know, end of the day, like most of it is centered around how do you take context all the way through the launch process, build a repeatable motion, and then communicate that across the rest of the org.
This episode of the Healthy Competition Podcast is brought to you by the Healthy Competition Community. Whoa, can you believe that? The Healthy Competition Community is where product marketers, competitive intel practitioners, and other go-to-market pros share best practices and act as a sounding board for questions that Google can't answer. Over 1,000 messages are exchanged every month, despite there being less than 100 members in the community. Now, I'm a firm believer in prioritizing high-quality topics of conversation and building authentic connections over member count numbers. So this piece is super important to me. But with that being said, if you listen to this podcast, then you'll probably love being in the community. So join today at healthycompetition.co. That's healthycompetition.co. Now, back to the episode.
Why do you think that like a tool like this hasn't been made before? You know, a product specifically, at least for product marketers, is it because there's not much buying power in PMM departments, at least until now? Or was it not a big enough total addressable market before now?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of factors at play. So like one is definitely, you know, I think product marketing as a function, I see it kind of where product management was like 10 years ago. Where, you know, it is a relatively newish role in a lot of companies, and those companies like don't really know quite how to engage with it yet, and it's still kind of carving out its place in the world a little bit. It also, you know, as a function of that, doesn't necessarily own its own budget. So as a buying center, it's a little tough. And, you know, so you're selling into a team that like may not control even their own budget, and they have to go beg, borrow, and steal from some other teams. So that's definitely part of it. I think that's changing. I think you're starting to see product marketing, one, become much more central and like powerful within organizations. And it's starting to mirror much more closely like what my old like brand management role at PlayStation looked like. But I think the other bit is, you know, I think there's just not a lot of like marketers that build companies. And so, you know, I think this is a product that you really need to have been through, you know, product marketing problems firsthand in order to be able to build effectively, because there's so many edge cases. There's so many like little nooks and crannies when you're talking about go-to-market planning that, you know, you just don't understand. It's almost impossible for somebody who hasn't done this firsthand to build an effective tool around it just by like doing a bunch of customer interviews and like kind of standard product management. So my take is like this thing should have been built a long time ago. Like I, you know, am generally a believer that like most project management tools like kind of create more work than they save. And, you know, like this should have been, you know, should have existed a long time ago. You know, I'm surprised that there aren't more like verticalized use case specific project management tools that like do some of the work involved in the process. But I also think this is a tough product to build without like the Gen AI stuff that's popped up now. You know, like it's a very resource intensive product to build. It requires you build a lot of surface area, raise a decent amount of money. And, you know, that's tough to do prior to Gen AI helping speed up the actual insights gathering portion of the product.
That's fascinating that you mentioned that kind of verticalized piece of how you're going to market. Usually, like from what I've seen, there's a few different strategies that companies can kind of implement. Number one, they can compete, which, you know, so like in any kind of category, like CRM, for example, you have like the big players like Salesforce, HubSpot. They're just like competing with each other over the entire pie. You can also niche down and kind of verticalize and be like CRM for healthcare or CRM for some other industry. And then you could also kind of just create your own category as well. I feel like you, with Ignition, you are niching down, but you're also kind of creating your own category in the way that, like, for product marketers, like for like that specific buyer persona, because that they don't really have a predefined tech stack quite yet. I'd love to understand like kind of your viewpoint of that. Like how do you think about how Ignition is going to market, or just like your strategy in general?
Yeah, definitely. So I think like we have a slightly verticalized use case, obviously, like building for product marketing teams. But like if you look at the people that are engaging with our product and the people that like we're solving for, it's a much broader group than product marketing, right? Like product marketing is ultimately like kind of the person who's driving a lot of this process. But, you know, like these problems are impacting product, they're impacting sales, they're impacting success, they're impacting marketing. Like go to market touches every single part of the org. So like we're not specifically only like solving for product marketing teams, which is where like a lot of the category creation comes in. And so like we are like, I would frame what we're doing as, you know, like there's a lot of parallels to some other categories of tooling, but we are the first product that is bundling these categories in the way that we are, which like by definition means that we're kind of creating a bit of a new category. And so we are taking a category creation approach to this, which, you know, obviously comes with its own set of like education challenges and like helping to carve out budget within companies that we're selling to. And like, there's a lot of hurdles that come with that. But our take is we are building for the persona who ends up driving this process, which is product marketing. We are creating a category around product marketing as a function, but also creating a category around the go-to-market use case. And, you know, we're touching a lot of different teams within the org, and the way that we approach that is like, obviously it's hard to carve out like a whole net new chunk within a company and like deploy a platform as broad as ours across all these different teams. So we sell it all modularly. So our take is like, we want to play nicely with all of the existing tools that exist out there today. And so we'll plug in, we'll integrate. If you, like I mentioned earlier, like if you have a road mapping tool already that's being used by your product team, cool, we'll integrate there. You'll still get the same kind of reporting and visibility that you get in our platform if you're doing it natively, but you don't have to change existing workflow. You can just start to create that cohesive like source of truth in the middle of all of these different workflows that are disparate and disconnected today. So we make it really easy for you to just buy the bits and pieces that are specifically pain points for you today, and then gradually grow into this over time.
So then how are you getting, when people are coming in and they're trying out Ignition, I'm assuming because you have a free trial or a free plan, where are the people that are using Ignition? Where are they starting? Is it primarily product marketing and then they're plugging into some of the other existing tools? Or where do people typically start when they're checking out Ignition?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, it does depend a bit on segment. So this is where like, you know, our product is a very product marketing intensive product because we have to like kind of verticalize around a couple of different personas, verticalize around a couple of different like company sizes. But basically like typically, you know, folks will come in and they're starting with the go-to-market tooling, which is, you know, like all the planning tools, documentation, asset management, project management, and they just kind of are creating launch plans there. Usually they'll start by like plugging that in through integration into their existing like road mapping tooling, for example. And so they're getting visibility on what product is building. Then they're doing their personal planning. Usually it's like 1 to 5 PMMs. It's like, you know, either an individual PMM or the PMM team that uses this by themselves, pushes information outwards across the org. And then like gradually, you know, naturally people kind of start coming into it because there's just a higher fidelity set of information available to them if they come into the product. We do see like product teams will come in, they'll start using us for the road mapping tooling. And then when you're talking about smaller companies, oftentimes we'll see them come in via our research tools. And so they'll start, you know, with like competitive intelligence because they can't, you know, they're not at the point where they can afford, you know, some of the more advanced competitive intel tools out there like Clue and CRAN. So, you know, they're looking for, you know, a kind of affordable, lightweight solution for that, you know, in the interim until they grow into that stage.
Got it. Okay. That's fascinating. So how do you specifically, you know, being that you are in these kind of two places of, you know, category creation, but also verticalized software, how do you approach market research? Because in a lot of cases, right, you're trying to carve out budget Not within really any kind of specific department. You're really creating this new category. Like, I feel like that there's an opportunity there in that you don't have like a direct competitor, but it does make things a little bit challenging because you might have to go up against a lot of quote unquote status quo. So how have you approached that in the past?
Yeah, I mean, buyer enablement's important. So, like, you know, we have to create a lot of collateral around, like, how to make budget asks for our product. Like, who should you go ask for budget? Like, who should you roll in first? So, you know, we basically, like, do a decent amount of, like, sales enablement work. It's, like, funny. It's me enabling myself.
right, exactly.
You know, we do a decent amount of sales enablement collateral creation and, like, you know, help kind of navigate the buyer journey for the folks that are buying us. But I think, you know, when it comes to research, you know, a lot of the research, the nice thing about the stage that we're at is like, I'm still doing most of the selling personally. And so, you know, I'm able to like glean a lot of insight just by having those conversations. And as a product marketer, you know, like I know how to ask the right questions around, you know, like getting deeper into pain points, you know, understanding what people really need built. So, you know, a lot of it just comes naturally via the conversations that we're having. We try and like talk to customers on a daily basis, you know, whether that's, you know, getting on calls with existing customers or whether that's, you know, talking to new prospects. And then it's my co-founder is a former PM. And so, you know, he is doing a lot of research on, you know, the PM side of the house. And, you know, he has a large network of PMs that he's, you know, in contact with on a regular basis. And so we do a decent amount of research there on like, okay, PM's the primary collaborator that product marketing like really needs to be tight with on the launch process. So how do you like unblock PMM from getting product excited about this as well? And so we've like spent a lot of time just researching how does the PM-PMM interaction work at these companies? And like, we just kind of tag team that quite a bit.
Mm. What do you think is like the ideal product marketing tech stack at this point? Because I feel like you can really go in a lot of different directions with something. And listen, hey, if you feel confident enough, you can say just Ignition. I'll give you permission to say that. But I'm curious, what do you think enables PMMs to be the most successful, like in their roles today?
I mean, today, like, honestly, I would say, like, Ignition covers most of what PMMs are doing at this point. I do think, like, if you need a more robust compete program, like, I'm a big fan of CRAN. I think that they're doing some killer work. I think Clue's doing great work, too. Like, both, you know, they're kind of, like, relatively interchangeable. But I think one of those two tools, like, definitely gives you a higher fidelity of competitive intel than what we're going to do. We're pretty lightweight there. But when it comes to the actual go-to-market planning, customer research, insights gathering, you know, like, Ignition covers 99% of what, you know, a PMM is doing on a day-to-day basis. And there's a couple of, like, little kind of one-off tools that you can use for some very, very specialized use cases. Like, I do like using, for example, like Ask the Public for understanding, you know, kind of like what questions people are having about a specific category of software.
I've never heard of that. What is that? Ask the Public?
Yeah, Ask the Public. It basically surfaces like what are the most common like Google result or Google searches for specific topic areas. So, you know, it'll surface like, you know, if you're talking about, you know, how do I build a house, it'll give you like all the kind of like related how do I build a house queries that people are asking.
That's cool. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. So there's a handful of like, you know, and the other one that I would add is also on the analytics front, like we're big fans of both Pendo and Amplitude. You know, I think both of those are you know, pretty critical, and like not enough PMMs are living in their analytics tools on a day-to-day basis. I was overselling Ignition. You also need some marketing automation for all of your onboarding experience. And so far, I like, frankly, am not a fan of like any of the tools out there for this. But
that's all good.
We use Intercom internally. You know, it's pretty good. I want somebody to build, you know, a really high end marketing automation tool, but it seems like that's a never ending quest that company has nailed yet.
Yeah, I know for a lot of companies, they're just like building it natively. And so yeah. I 100% agree. It would be great to have just kind of a plug and play thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, last question then. So for any product marketer that is wanting to check out Ignition, they're jumping into it for the first time. If you could give them like one or two things to check out in order to, you know, see something really cool or be successful, what would those couple things be?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the biggest one, which is actually pretty slick, that's coming in the next month or so. So I'll give you a little preview of one thing that's upcoming. Is we are actually shipping this experience that we call ChatGTM, which is basically we're taking all of your workspace data within Ignition, and we're going to contextualize that with an underlying AI layer and let you like freeform ask questions of it. So, you know, basically like all the internal enablement and Q&A that you're doing on a day-to-day basis gets kind of democratized out. So basically, you know, I think for somebody coming into Ignition, what I would say is come in, build a go-to-market plan, use the Copilot flow, which walks you through that whole process. It structures it all for you. It helps generate, you know, recommendations around channel plans, asset plans, project plans. So structure out that plan and then, you know, just populate it in and then start asking questions, and you'll get some like pretty magical responses, out from it.
Nice. Cool. All right, everyone. Well, definitely go and check out Ignition. This was awesome talking with you, Derek. It was great meeting you and learning a little bit more about you and your company. Where can people follow you if they want to learn more about you or about Ignition?
Yeah, for sure. So our website is haveignition.com or we.haveignition.com if you want to just sign up directly. And then my reaching out to me is derek@haveignition.com or on LinkedIn. I'm Derek Osgood 3, I think, is my handle on there. So, you know, love hearing from people directly, and just feel free to follow or ping me.
Thanks so much, dude. Really appreciate you coming on and having the podcast with me.
Hey, you made it to the end of the episode. I have one small favor for you now. If you could please rate this podcast 5 stars wherever you're listening to it, that'd be super helpful for me. For Spotify, you can only leave a review on the mobile app, and you can do that on the top of the Healthy Competition podcast profile. And for Apple Podcasts, you have to scroll to the bottom of the show's page and click write a review. Each podcast episode takes about 5 hours of my time from beginning to end. While reviewing it, should only take about 5 seconds of your time. Plus, you'd be making my day. So thank you so much in advance, and see you in the next episode.